This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of June 27th, 2021. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. Welcome to edition number 192. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support The Breaker. On this edition, headlines from the Pacific Rim and the Pacific Northwest, the Is It Just Me commentary, I award a virtual Nanaimo bar to a difference maker, and the big deal feature, the 43rd session of the House of Commons winds up for summer. Is a snap election around the corner? Listen to highlights from the federal scene. But first, is it just me? Is it just me, or is there a double standard being practiced in John Horgan's office? Monday was the first full day of summer and National Indigenous Peoples Day in Canada, a time for reflection less than a month after the Kamloops Indian Band in Kamloops said ground-penetrating radar found the remains of 215 children near the old Catholic residential school. In the wee hours of June 21st, the Sacred Heart Church on the Penticton Indian Reserve was on fire. A couple hours later, St. Gregory's Church on the Osoyoos Reserve was on fire. Both burned down. Penticton and Osoyoos leaders are shocked. RCMP say they're investigating suspicious fires. No doubt the Catholic Church needs to be held accountable on many fronts for a history of abuse and neglect at residential and day schools for Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal children alike. It's a test of faith. How and why did God allow men of the cloth to harm innocent children? No doubt First Nations, Inuit, and Métis Canadians deserve better. But what a cowardly act to burn down a church where Indigenous people gathered and worshipped in peace. What is also cowardly? Premier John Horgan for not making a strong statement against the recent spate of vandalism at Catholic churches in Vancouver, Port Moody, and Kamloops. And now this. The Premier's press secretary told me, quote, the Premier cannot comment on matters under police investigation, end quote. Really? On May 17, 2020, Horgan tweeted after the daughter of one of his aides told police she was assaulted and called a racial slur. On July 9, 2020, Horgan tweeted after somebody threatened to take down a totem pole in Seashelt. On April 6, 2021, Horgan tweeted about the vandalism of a CBC car in Kamloops. On June 8, 2021, Horgan issued a statement condemning the murder of a Muslim family in London, Ontario. Those four incidents have nothing in common, except they were still under investigation when Horgan made a public statement. There is an estimated 500,000 Catholics in BC, including Indigenous people. It's time to say something, Premier. What do you think? Email bob@thebreaker.news.
News podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim.
In the Hong Kong Free Press. Thank you, Hong Kongers. Apple Daily's printing presses come to a halt after 26 years. Five top executives of Apple Daily were arrested under the Beijing-imposed national security law after 500 officers raided the newsroom. The five denied charges of colluding with foreign forces. The company's assets were frozen. A million copies of the embattled pro-democracy daily's final edition flew off the presses, while its website and social media pages vanished from the internet. A bright red notice in Apple Daily's mobile app said good luck and goodbye. In the Japan Times, Tokyo already showing early signs of another COVID-19 spike. Scientists fear the Delta variant, which was first reported in India and is estimated to be nearly twice as contagious as the original strain of the coronavirus, could overtake all other strains and trigger a surge of cases, which could then spread to neighboring prefectures and across the country. This, only days after the capital's state of emergency was lifted and the 7-day rolling average is ticking upward. The Summer Olympics are scheduled to begin July 23rd in Tokyo. In ABC News Australia, Christmas Island future uncertain as phosphate mine starts to wind down. The phosphate mine leases on Christmas Island end in 2034. A proposed marine park around the island would be bigger than the Great Barrier Reef in Australia. Some locals believe the island should further develop its tourism industry. Phosphate is used in fertilizer, animal feed, and detergent. The island near Indonesia is home to 1,800 people. That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast.
Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest.
On KUOW, isolated Washington State towns, one grocery store says it has to close if border doesn't open soon. The owner of the only grocery store in the exclave of Point Roberts said she will have to close around July 15th unless the international border fully reopens or her business receives an emergency government bailout. Point Roberts marketplace owner Allie Hayton said she is losing over $30,000 per month. She said she received two small forgivable payroll support loans from federal pandemic relief programs, but that money was used up within a week. Canada extended the ban on non-essential border crossing to July 21st. Point Roberts Fire Chief Chris Carlton wrote a letter to top officials on both sides of the border saying they are pushing Point Roberts into a humanitarian crisis. Help may be coming from Washington Governor Jay Inslee, who told reporters that he would talk to Point Roberts about nutritional and logistical needs in the coming days. In the Seattle Times, record container traffic rumbles Whidbey Island locals as ships wait days to unload at crowded ports. As many as four ships at a time have been moored and chugging around the clock. One reason is yet another ripple effect from the pandemic in the increased consumer spending on merchandise that is stressing ports across the West Coast. The containers can't be unloaded from the ships fast enough because there isn't enough room in the terminals, and there are not enough rail cars to haul the containers away. The Northwest Seaport Alliance, which includes the ports of Seattle and Tacoma, saw record-breaking volumes for the month of May. The total number of containers in and out of the port is up nearly 20% year over year since 2015. In the Northern View, 94 ILWU Local 505 workers' suspension reduced, not rescinded. From 4 days to 1 day unpaid suspension for longshoremen who refused to cross a picket line in Prince Rupert on June 15th and 16th to protest the arrival of the Israeli-linked container ship JPO Volans. The freighter had been refused entry to Oakland and Vancouver due to the pro-Palestine protests. That's Cascadia Calling on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast. This is the Big Deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast.
I, Justin P.J. Trudeau.
No!
Sunny ways, my friends. Sunny ways.
Is Justin Trudeau's minority Liberal government, which was elected in 2019, over? Justin Trudeau's Liberals are itching to call a snap election. They would have pulled the plug in March if the vaccine rollout hadn't gone sideways. A source told the Breaker.News that an election could begin as soon as August 16th. The House of Commons adjourned for summer and maybe longer, with the country in record deficit and debt, scandal and secrecy, and the pandemic still not over. It ended a two-week period unlike any other in recent history. First, on June 13th, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau was in England for the G7 summit where he put his foot in his mouth.
The impacts of this G7 will be felt long after the newspapers you write for will have been used to wrap fish. En français maintenant? Ah, bon, OK. Maybe I won't do the newspapers and fish thing. I might get in trouble for that because we respect the freedom of the press and the independence and the work that you all do in a very important way.
On June 16th, Canada's first black female party leader, Annamie Paul of the Greens, called out Trudeau after facing a Liberal-stoked mutiny in the Green Party.
To the Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, I say to you today, you are no ally and you are no feminist. Your deeds and your words over these past weeks prove that definitively. A real ally and feminist doesn't end their commitment to those principles whenever they come up against their personal ambition.
The Liberals, with support from the NDP and Bloc Québécois, rammed through a bill to censor content on YouTube and social media platforms. This is what Conservative finance critic Pierre Poilievre had to say about Bill C-10.
Why do the Bloc, the NDP, and the Liberals all support the bill? It's simple. They're all the same. They all They all believe in putting the state above the citizen. That's the core of their ideology. They believe in worshiping at the altar of the state, that big government should decide and that the people should just follow. All of them bought into that notion. Well, they've always believed it, but they saw, in the words of the finance minister, a political opportunity in COVID.
Exactly.
A political opportunity that saw the prime minister attempt to give himself the power to raise any tax to any level without parliamentary approval for 2 years after the beginning of the COVID pandemic. Yes. They attempted to grab unprecedented spending powers, and yes, they've now tried to grab away people's freedom of expression. All the leftist authoritarian parties believe in that ideology, and that's exactly why they support this bill. That is the easiest question I will ever answer in this place.
On June 22nd, Canada launched a campaign with several other countries at the United Nations to demand that China open up and let the UN investigate crimes against Uyghur Muslims. But Geneva-based diplomat Zhang Duan hit back at Canada, exploiting the Kamloops Indian Band's claim that ground-penetrating radar detected the remains of 215 children.
We are deeply concerned about the serious human rights violations against the indigenous people in Canada. Historically, Canada robbed the indigenous people of their land, killed them, and eradicated their culture. We call for a thorough and impartial investigation into all cases where crimes were committed against the indigenous people, especially the children.
Justin Trudeau responded,
"It is of all of our concern to be speaking out against human rights abuses everywhere around the world, and particularly in China in this situation. In Canada, we had a Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Where is China's Truth and Reconciliation Commission? Where is their truth? Where is the openness that Canada has always shown and the responsibility that Canada has taken for the terrible mistakes of the past and, indeed, many of which continue into the present?"
That's the same Justin Trudeau who said that he admired communist China back in 2013.
There's a level of admiration I actually have for China, because their basic dictatorship is allowing them to actually turn their economy around on a dime and say, we need to go green as fast as we need to start, investing in solar. I mean, there is a flexibility that I know Stephen Harper must dream about, of having a dictatorship that he could do everything he wanted.
On June 21st, Speaker of the House of Commons Anthony Rota scolded the head of the Public Health Agency of Canada for disobeying an official order to hand over documents about Chinese government scientists working at Canada's top virus lab.
"Mr. Stewart, you are attending at the bar of the House on behalf of the Public Health Agency of Canada for failure to comply with the orders of the Special Committee on Canada-China Relations of March 31st and May 10th, 2021, and the order of the House of June 2nd, 2021. The orders in question called for unredacted versions of all the documents produced by the Health Agency of Canada about the transfer of Ebola and Henpa viruses to Wuhan Institute of Virology in March of 2019, and the subsequent revocation of security clearance of Dr. Xinguang Cui and Keding Cheng."
On June 22nd, Military Ombudsman Gregory Lick went public with his frustrations. Liberal Defense Minister Harjit Sajjan is under fire for sexual harassment at the top of Canada's military and for hiring a disgraced Vancouver cop to work in his office.
"I get frustrated, and a lot of people get frustrated, when political parties of any stripe do review after review after review after review. I'm frustrated. The people that come to our office are frustrated. They want to see action. They don't want another review. They want to see real action. And what I'm putting forward in the paper today, Amanda, is a solution to bring real action, to bring real independent external oversight with some teeth to get action from the decision makers. That's what they deserve."
June 23rd, the last question period of the session. It sounded a lot like Conservative leader Erin O'Toole and Trudeau were both testing messages for that possible snap election.
"An illegal trip to a billionaire's island. The SNC-Lavalin scandal.
$1 million to friends at the We Charity, and a 3-year cover-up of sexual misconduct allegations in the Canadian Armed Forces. And now, stories about hundreds of thousands of dollars of contract to one of the Prime Minister's closest personal friends. Under his leadership, ethics investigations have to be numbered, Mr. Speaker. The day the Prime Minister's third judgment came out, Bill Morneau's second came out. Leadership starts at the top, so I want to ask leader to leader, does the Prime Minister feel that his personal ethical conduct sets a bad example for the members of Parliament on his team?
You right, Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr. Speaker, it is unfortunate that in the midst of a global pandemic, in the midst of challenges Canadians are facing, whether it's climate change, which the Conservative Party continues to deny, whether it's systemic racism, which the Conservative Party continues to deny, or supports for Canadians, which Conservatives are going to be voting against in the upcoming budget vote, they have been focused more on political partisan attacks and personal attacks than they have on supporting Canadians. Leadership is about being there for Canadians, and that is something that we have done from the very beginning. We said we'd have Canadians' backs through this pandemic. That's exactly what we've had. We will have their backs as we move forward and beyond this pandemic to build back better.
Honourable Leader of the Opposition.
Personal attacks, Mr. Speaker. All I'm asking is for the Prime Minister of Canada to follow the law. Is it too much now, after 6 years, that I ask the leader of this country to simply obey the laws of this country? The only backs he has had, Mr. Speaker, consistently as Prime Minister, are those of friends of his family, of close insiders, and connected lobbyists. There's one lineup for the friends of the Prime Minister on the Liberal list, and there's another lineup for everyday Canadians who are struggling. It's time to restore accountability. Will the Prime Minister commit to never again break the law?
Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr. Speaker, once again, we see what Conservatives are focused on. We see that they're focused on personal attacks, on partisan attacks, on spreading mud as broadly as they can to try and see what sticks, while we on this side of the House stay focused on supports for Canadians, on delivering the necessary supports for students, for seniors, for workers, on being there for small businesses with the CEBA, with the Canadian wage subsidy, on making sure that Canadians are properly supported through this pandemic and into the recovery, while at the same time Conservatives kept screaming at us every step of the way.
And NDP leader Jagmeet Singh weighed in on question period.
The Honourable Member for Burnaby South.
The fact that seniors and our loved ones in long-term care bore the brunt of this pandemic is a national shame. People are outraged at the conditions in long-term care, but not surprised, because these conditions were there long before the pandemic. The pandemic simply exposed those horrible conditions. The Prime Minister said that this is an important issue, but has not done anything to make people's lives better. Why hasn't the Prime Minister acted on this vital issue to protect seniors by removing profit from long-term care, by establishing national standards of best practices? Why hasn't he acted?
Honourable Prime Minister.
Again, Mr. Speaker, the NDP promotes a dangerous sort of cynicism to believe that absolutely nothing has been done. I recognize there is more to do, but we have delivered on our promise to increase old age security for Canadians age 75 plus. We'll issue seniors a one-time $500 payment in August and increase their OAS by 10% in July of 2022. We'll also create a new Age Well at Home initiative to fund senior-led community groups that help seniors live seniors age at home. And we will invest $3 billion to support provinces and territories to ensure that standards for long-term care are applied and permanent changes are made. We will continue on this side of the House, Mr. Speaker, to support seniors.
I'm afraid that's all the time we have for question period today.
Keep reading the Breaker.news for updates on federal politics and the potential snap election.
Virtual Nanaimo Bar, brought to to you by Spruce Hill Contracting.
Every week we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo bar to people making a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to Canadians. Coast to coast to coast. Canadians. Wherever you are, whoever you are, however you plan to mark Canada Day on July 1st. The second biggest country in the world is far from perfect and it needs improvement. But there are many worse places to be on this planet than Canada. You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo bar. Send me an email to bob@thebreaker.news. Spruce Hill Contracting. Custom homes and renovations. Find more information at sprucehill.ca.
Vaccine, 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 vaccine. I'm begging of you, please don't hesitate. Vaccine, 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 vaccine. Because once you're dead, then that's a bit too late. I know I'm trying to be funny now, but I'm dead serious about the vaccine. I think we all want to get back to normal, whatever that is, and that would be a great shot in the arm, wouldn't it?
That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of June 27th, 2021. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on June 27th in 1898, Joshua Slocum became the first person to circumnavigate the globe? The Nova Scotia sailor arrived in Rhode Island after 3 years at sea. In 1895, he left Boston on the ship called the Spray. Now you know. Send me your feedback, send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit thebreaker.news on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/thebreakernews. That's patreon.com/thebreakernews. Until next week, have a happy Canada Day.